Begin. We are learning the Zecher Nishmas. Avram ben Achamendo ben Matthisio, Pnina bas Naphtali, Hachaber Yol ben Hachaber Shlomo, Avram ben Yosef, and Tzipora bas Tzvi. We start with the bottom of Zion on the Bays. Four lines up. So quick recap, we had seen yesterday two brises discussing the get written on a boat on water, presumably river in Eretz Yisrael. Is that viewed as if it's written in Chutz La'aretz? Is that viewed as if it's written in Eretz Yisrael? A machlokas between two brises. And we had said that perhaps one brisa is following the sheet of the Chachamim, that with regard to Trumas and Maisos and Shemitah, dirt from Chutz La'aretz on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael is considered like Eretz Yisrael. And one brisa is following Rabbi Yehuda, who says, no, it's not. Dirt from Chutz La'aretz on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael is like Chutz La'aretz. That was the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita of the Chachamim. So the Gemara suggests maybe that's the Machlokas here as well with regard to a get written on a boat on a river in Eretz Yisrael. According to Chachamim, it's like it's Eretz Yisrael. According to Yehuda, it's like it's Chutz La'aretz, unless Rabbi Yehuda says the boat is touching the soil on the bottom of the river, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's considered like it's in Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara, as an aside, suggests as follows. Amreb Zerab, Zera says, Atzitz Nakuv, Hamunach Al Gabe Yesedos. What happens if you have dirt in a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom of it, and this flower pot is suspended in the air on some sort of stand over the ground, and you have something growing in that flower pot? Is that considered like it's growing in Eretz Yisrael, or is that considered like it's considered to be growing in Chutz La'aretz? Or not Eretz Yisrael, I should say. In other words, is it Chayim and Trumas and Maisos or not? That's the question. So Reb Zera suggests, Banan, the Machlokas, Rebbe Yehuda Banan. This is the Machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. In other words, Rebbe Yehuda said with regard to Trumas and Maisos that if you have a boat in which there is dirt from Chutz La'aretz, in which there is something growing, if the boat is touching the ground, that's Eretz Yisrael. If it's sailing on the water, that's Chutz La'aretz. So Reb Zera is suggesting, well, according to Yehuda then, if I have a flower pot suspended mid-air in Eretz Yisrael, but mid-air, not touching the ground, that's not growing in Eretz Yisrael. That's not Chayav and Trumas and Maisos. The same way my boat is not touching the ground, then whatever grows on the boat is not considered Chayav and Trumas and Maisos. So to Argus of Zera, Reb Yehuda would say, a flower pot, mid-air, in Israel, but not touching the ground. That's not Chayav and Trumas and Maisos. Whereas the Rabbanan would say, no, the same way something growing in a boat, on a river, on water, not touching the ground, is considered Eretz Yisrael. So too, I have something growing in a flower pot, suspended mid-air, not touching the ground. Okay, that is still considered Eretz Yisrael. That's Reb Zera's suggestion as to how to apply this machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim to the scenario of an atzitz nakuv hamunach al gabe yesedos. So in response to that, Omar Rav responds, the equation is not necessarily accurate. You can't draw such a parallel. Why? Tim Elohi, maybe it's not correct. Adkan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda Hassam, maybe only there Rabbi Yehuda said that a boat that has something growing on it is only considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael when the boat is rubbing up against the riverbed. That's true only because Ela Besvina, that's by a boat. Top of the Amud Chesem and Aleph. Hasuy Levroach, a boat is in motion, it moves. It's not stationary. So if the boat is not stationary, it's sailing down the river. You can't view it, Rabbi Yehuda will argue, as if that which grows on the boat is growing in Eretz Yisrael, unless the boat is rubbing up against the soil, the riverbed, the entire time. But a flower pot that is not in motion, it's stationary. So then lo, maybe then no. In other words, even if it's not touching the ground, but since it's stationary, it's considered as if that which grows in the flower pot is growing in the earth below it. Now, granted, we're talking about an atzitz nakuv. There's a hole in the bottom of the flower pot to allow for the nutrients to be considered halachically as if they are connecting to the ground. But it could be that Rabbi Yehuda would agree, says Rava, that when you have a stationary atzitz nakuv suspended mid-air over the ground, even without touching the earth below, it's considered as if it's growing from the earth below. So that's point number one that Rava suggests against Rabbi Zeira's contention. Furthermore, says the Gemara, inami, or I can tell you as follows. Ad kam l'kam yirabanan hasam. Maybe the Chachamim only said with regard to a boat that that which grows on the boat is considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael, even when the boat is not touching the soil. That's only besvina, ela besvina, dafka by a boat. Delo mafsek avira. There's no airspace between the boat and the earth below. Demaya kiara smichta damya. Maybe we view the water as an extension of the earth. Thick soil, thick earth. So the boat sitting on the water is like it's sitting on the earth below the water. So maybe dafka there, Chachamim say, that which grows on the boat, on a river, in Eretz Yisrael, is like it's growing from the land of Eretz Yisrael itself. However, but the flower pot scenario, which is a pot suspended mid-air, where there is a separation between the earth and the flower pot, maybe their Chacham would say that it is considered a hefsek. And in that case, maybe Chacham would agree that the product that's growing in the flower pot is not considered to be chayiv and shuvas and ma'asos and shviz. It's not considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael because there's an airspace between the soil of Israel and the flower pot. So what Rava is arguing on Abzera and saying is that you can't draw a parallel between the case of that which grows on a boat sitting on a river to that which grows in a flower pot suspended midair. The two are very different. So even though by the case of the boat, Rabbi Yehuda said, if the boat is not touching the soil, it's like chutzlaretz. And Chacham said, no, it's on the water of an Israel river, it's Eretz Yisrael. They might not say the same thing with regard to a pot suspended midair that has something growing in it in Eretz Yisrael. There's the machlokas Rava and Reb Zera. Now, the Gemara once again refers us back to those two brises we had quoted yesterday about the get being written on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael. So we had suggested, well, maybe those two brises that argue as to whether the boat is considered to be Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael with regard to the writing of the get, maybe that machlokas is the same machlokas we had said yesterday as the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim with regard to something growing on the soil on a boat that's in a river in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda says, if the boat's not touching the land below the river, then it's like Chutz La'aretz. And Chacham said, no, it's on a river in Israel, it's like Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara quotes another possible interpretation of those two brises. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, B'naharos de Eretz Yisrael dekule alma lo pligi. Maybe when it comes to rivers in Israel, it could be everyone agrees that a river in Israel is considered like Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that a boat on a river that's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that it's not touching the soil. In other words, Rashi explains, granted, Rabbi Yehuda says that with regard to the chiv of Trumas and Maisus and Shemitah, the boat must be touching the soil of Eretz Yisrael to be considered Chayav and Shumas and Maestros. But with regard to a get, that has nothing to do with growing from the ground. That has everything to do with
location.
Location. Do they know the din of Lashma? Are witnesses going to be easily able to travel back and forth? So in that case, says Rav Nachman, it's like Rabbi Yehuda agrees that I don't care if it's touching the soil or not, as long as it's on a river within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it's like Eretz Yisrael. What then is the machlokas between the two brises? Ella, ki pligi, what's the machlokas? B'yam ha-gadol. Machlokas is when you have a get written on a boat that is on the Mediterranean. That's the machlokas. Is that considered part of Eretz Yisrael or not? the Tanya, because the Brisa says, Ezehu Ares ve'ezehu Chutzal Aretz. What are the borders of Eretz Yisrael and what's considered Chutzal Aretz? Now, previously we discussed on Daf Beis, you know, some in the Mishnah, some border cities, Akko, Rechem. But now we're going to be discussing, what about the Mediterranean? What about the Mediterranean? So Akko, Rechem, Ashkelon, those were, you know, land cities, land border cities. But what about the Mediterranean? You know, as a fellow rabbinic colleague mentioned, you know, what about the Leviathan and the Tamar natural gas fields out in the Mediterranean? You know, are those considered halachically part of Eretz Yisrael or not? You know, maybe we have our international, agreed upon maritime borders. A certain number of miles extend beyond the country's coastline are part of the country's borders. What about Eretz Yisrael? You know, Leviathan, Tamar gas fields. Is that Israel? Is that international? Is that free for the taking? What is that? So, Mark quotes the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Kol sheshofeya biyore. Any spot, any location that is on the sloping down from Miture Amnon, from the peak of Ture Amnon. Now, Rashi explains, Ture Amnon is this mountain, Har Ahar, that is identified as the northwesternmost location in Eretz Yisrael. If you want to identify the northwesternmost corner of Eretz Yisrael, it's this mountain called Har Ahar, or in Aramaic, called Ture Amnon. And what we're saying now in the Braisa is that anything south of that mountain is Eretz Yisrael. But when we say south of the mountain, we don't mean south of the foot of the mountain. We mean south of the mountain peak. So even on the sloping down segment of the mountain, that's all part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Braisa says, Kol sheshofeya v'yored mituri amnon v'lefnim, any location that is on the sloping down segment from the peak of Turi Amnon and southward is Eretz Yisrael. Turi Amnon v'lechutz, but if it's from the mountain peak and northward, that's Chutz Laretz. Okay. Then the Braisa says, Hanas and Shebayam. What about the islands out on the Mediterranean? Where do they fit in? So the Braisa is like this. Rowan, O son, imagine ke'ilu as if chut masuach alehem. There's an imaginary line extended. Mituri Amnon ad Nacha Mitzrayim. From that northwesternmost point of Turi Amnon until the southwesternmost point of Eretz Yisrael, known as Nacha Mitzrayim. Imagine in your own mind the sloping, the coast of the Mediterranean coast of Eretz Yisrael. So we know that it kind of curves outward as you go further south. It extends outward. So if you have the northwesternmost point of the country identified as Har Ahar, Turi Amnon, northwesternmost point on along the Mediterranean coast, and the southwesternmost point, known as Nacha Mitzrayim, and then draw a diagonal line extending from that northwesternmost point, cutting across part of the Mediterranean in the process, right, to reach the southwesternmost point. So you'll have a small segment of Mediterranean within that line. So that's what the Bryce is describing here. Draw that imaginary line from Turi Amnon to Nacha Mitzrayim, Menachut v'lefnim, any island that is within that diagonal line on the Mediterranean is Eretz Yisrael. It's part of Eretz Yisrael. Menachut v'lechutz, anything that's beyond that imaginary line is Chutz Laretz. That's Shitas Chachamim. Yehuda Amibida says, Kol shekeneged Eretz Yisrael, harehu ke'Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda says, a far more expansive version of the halachically recognized reach of Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda says, any part of the sea that is directly opposite Eretz Yisrael, even as Rashi adds, all the way out to the Atlantic. If you're due west of Eretz Yisrael, that's part of Eretz Yisrael. How does he know that? Why does he say that? Shenama, because the pasuk says, "Ugvul Yam, the western border, v'hayal lachem hayam hagadol, will be the Mediterranean Sea, ugvul." That's your western border. Now that word ugvul is an extra word, says Rashi. So what it's trying to tell us is that even the sea itself is included in the borders of Eretz Yisrael when you're looking at the western borders of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachamim say you draw an imaginary line that just slopes downwards, south western direction from the northern westernmost peak of Tur Yamnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Whatever is within that diagonal line on the Mediterranean is Israel. Whatever is to the west of that diagonal line on the Mediterranean is Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Yehuda has a much more expansive version of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. He says you have your coastline. Whatever is due west of the coastline, doesn't matter how far out you go, is Eretz Yisrael. Now, the question is, how far do you take that? That's somewhat of a chiddush. And Tosfos is bothered by that. According to Yehuda, like, how far west does he view Eretz Yisrael as extending? And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Peter, who asked Rabbeinu Tam, how could that be? Rabbeinu Peter asks Rabbeinu Tam, so we who live due west of Eretz Yisrael, I mean, you go all the way out west, you'll hit Italy, you'll hit Spain, you'll hit, right? You'll hit part of the European mainland if you just go straight west from Eretz Yisrael. So that's part of Eretz Yisrael, Kona Behuda. Like, how could that be? So Rabbeinu Tam said, well, don't worry, we don't pass like a Behuda. Okay, but Behuda himself, what was he thinking? Does he hold that all of that European continent that extends into the Mediterranean and it's directly west of Eretz Yisrael, part of Eretz Yisrael? And that would make for an international crisis. What's going on? What's Pshat Rabbeinu?
As if we don't have enough ground.
Right, so so Tosa says that maybe all that's meant by Rabbi Yehuda is that the sea, the water that's due west of Eretz Yisrael is part of Eretz Yisrael, not the continental European countries that extend into the Mediterranean. That's not what we're referring to. We're referring to the sea itself and the islands in the Mediterranean, not the actual mainland of Europe that extends into the Mediterranean due west of Eretz Yisrael. Dafka, the water, and the islands on the water. That's what Peter's referring to.
Are there any islands close to Eretz Yisrael besides, I mean, Cyprus, I could further out, but...
Right.
Are there any, I don't know of.
Right, I don't know, what else would be included then, according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. You'd have to, extend your imaginary border lines directly due west of Israel. Even Cyprus is north, it seems, of Israel. It's not directly due west of the coastline. Mm-hmm. So are there any actual islands that you'll hit if you go due west? It seems like most of the islands that you might see on the map are somewhat north of Eretz Yisrael. If you extend those lines out, you probably would just miss some Greek islands that are south of Greece, but north of Eretz Yisrael. You probably would end up running into mainland Africa if you look on a map and extend your lines straight out across the Mediterranean. You'll hit Tunisia, perhaps. So I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know if there's any major islands that would be, subject to this definition of Eretz Yisrael as defined by Yehuda. Good question. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says now, according to Yehuda, v'hanosin shevetz dadin, what about the islands that are, to the side of these imaginary lines that are drawn due west of Eretz Yisrael? So Ronason, imagine, kiluchut masuch alein, as if there is a line extended, mi Kafluria, from that northwesternmost point, the city of Kafluria, right by the foot of Tur Yamnon, v'adamu kainas, all the way out to the Atlantic, u'minacham Mitzrayim, and imagine another line drawn for the southwesternmost point, Nacham Mitzrayim, all the way out west, v'adamu kainas, until the Atlantic. Whatever is in between those two imaginary lines is Eretz Yisrael. Whatever is north or south of those lines is Chutz La'aretz. For Rabbanim, the Rabbanim who don't have such an expansive view of Israel's reach into the Mediterranean, Hayo Gvul Maya Avdile, what do they do with the extra word Ugvul? And says the Gemara, Mabayla Lenasin. They argued that word is meant to include the islands that are within their imaginary line drawn from Turi Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. And Abuda Nasal Srichikra says, no, those islands are Pashat part of Eretz Yisrael. The islands that are so close to Israel that they are within the line that you've drawn down the Mediterranean from the north to the south of those border points of Eretz Yisrael, those are Pashat part of Eretz Yisrael. The word of Gvul, says Abuda, is meant to teach me that even the Mediterranean itself, due west of Eretz Yisrael, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael.
According to this diagram here, it's not the entire coast of Eretz Yisrael. It's from what? Kilfruria?
Yeah.
Down to Nachal, like this. Only that portion extended out, not the entire, you know, northern part of, this is according to this.
So according to the Chachamim, Kafluria is that city by the mountain Har Ahar.
Right.
Which is northwesternmost point. And Nachal Mitzrayim is the southwesternmost point.
Mm-hmm.
So that diagonal line that cuts down, mm-hmm. right? That, whatever's included in that line is, according to Chachamim, part of Eretz Yisrael.
Mm.
Abuda is one who says whatever extends outward on Mediterranean is considered part of
Eretz
Yisrael.
And they're talking about islands that...
We don't know if
we
there's
don't
many.
We don't know what islands those
are. Right now there's a floating island known as the Tamar Gasfield, I guess. That's about it. But, right. Okay.
Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know how far out that is, actually. I'm not sure how far that goes in the Mediterranean. I'm not sure. Okay. Moving on. Two dots. Get back to our discussion. The Mishnah had said that if a get is written in Akko, what's the status of Akko? So, Meir Omer, Akko ke Eretz Yisrael legitin. If Meir said Akko is considered like Eretz Yisrael insofar as writing a get is concerned. So, the Gemara says the following. They asked Reb Chiya Abba, Hamocher Avdo Suria. If I have an Eved Kanani and I sell him to someone who lives in Syria, Syria is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, Kemocher B'chutzlaretz Dami Olo. Is that as if I sold my Eved Kanani to someone in Chutzlaretz or not? Now, why is this relevant? It's Rashi quotes the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel. The Mishnah there says that if somebody sells an Eved Kanani from his location in Eretz Yisrael to an individual living in Chutzlaretz, Chazal penalized you, and the Eved Kanani goes free. Why is that? So it's Machlokas Rishonim what the problem is. When I sell my Eved Kanani from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, what's the problem? According to Rashi, the problem is that I have now forced him to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, every Jew is subject to a halacha that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. Now, exact parameters of the halacha remain to be discussed, but you're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. An Eved Kanani is chayav in mitzvos like a woman. If I sell him from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, I forced him to leave Eretz Yisrael. I'm penalized, and the Eved Kanani goes free. Tosfos Rit says, the reason is because by me forcing him to leave Eretz Yisrael, I now have deprived him of the opportunity to fulfill those mitzvot that one can only do in Eretz Yisrael. So either way, by selling my Eved Kanani from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, I've either forced him to violate the halacha of leaving Eretz Yisrael, or I have now prevented him from doing mitzvos that are only relevant in Eretz Yisrael, so my Eved Kanani goes free. Penalty Chazal imposed upon me. So what about, the Gemara asks now, if I sell my Eved Kanani to Syria? Is that the same as selling him to Chutz La'aretz or not?
Isn't there a prohibition to release a slave altogether?
So I didn't release him. I sold him to another Jewish owner. I didn't free him.
Oh.
But Chazal penalized me by making me free him. Now, you're right. There might be, in general, a prohibition on freeing an Eved. There are times when you're allowed to. Chazal penalized me in this case by forcing me to freedom. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, Reb Chiya Bar Abba responds, Tenisua, I'll bring you proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Reb Meir Amar, Reb Meir says, Akko k'Eretz Yisrael l'Gittin, that Akko is treated like Eretz Yisrael with regard to the writing of a get. L'Gittin in, L'Avadim Lo. It sounds like only with regard to the writing of a get, Reb Meir views Akko as being part of Eretz Yisrael. But with regard to other halachos, such as selling an Eved to Akko, it's as if I sold him to Chutz La'aretz. Well, if that's the case, then V'kol Shekein Surya Demecha Ketuva. Certainly then, selling an Eved to Surya, which is further north than Akko, would be like selling him to Chutz La'aretz, and the Eved would have to be freed. Now, once we've mentioned this, the Gemara now discusses Surya in general. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabban the Brisa says, Bishlosha Drachim Shavsa Surya La'aretz Yisrael. There are three ways in which Surya is treated like Eretz Yisrael, Bishlosha L'chutz La'aretz, and three ways in regard to which Surya is treated like Chutz La'aretz. So, number one, Afras Hamek Chutz La'aretz. The dirt of Surya has the status of Tamei Meis, just like the dirt of Chutz La'aretz. We know that Mejobanon, Chazal, goes there that since we don't know where bodies are buried in Chutz La'aretz, so if one walks into Chutz La'aretz, you're Tamei Meis. So the same is true if you walk into Surya, Mejobanon, you're Tamei Meis, same is true in that regard. Number two, Amochar Avdol Surya, Kamochar B'Chutz La'aretz. If you sell an Eved to Surya, it's like you sold him to Chutz La'aretz. Like we said before, Chazal penalize you, the Eved goes free. And finally, a Mevi get Misurya, Kamevi M'Chutz La'aretz. And one who brings a get that was written in Surya, it's like bringing a get that was written in Chutz La'aretz, and you must declare B'Fanai Nechtav and B'Fanai Nechtam.
But why does it say it's like Chutz La'aretz? Surya is not Chutz La'aretz?
Yeah, we're going to explain shortly. Surya was initially Chutz La'aretz, but it was conquered by David HaMelech. So the question is, okay, David conquered it. So is that like the rest of biblical Eretz of it? Once you conquer it, it's like Israel? Or no? Since it was never intended to be part of biblical Eretz Yisrael, it's not. That's the Gemara we're going to discuss on the base in a moment. Now the Gemara quotes three ways in which Surya is like Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shlosha L'Eretz Yisrael. And in three ways, Surya is like Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Chayeves b'Maisro b'Shmitas k'Eretz Yisrael. We impose the Chiyuv Maisros and Shemitah on that which is grown in Surya. Same way we have a Chiyuv Maisro and Shemitah on that which is grown in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, V'Rotzeh L'Kanes L'B'Tahara Nichnas. If you want to enter into Surya while still retaining your Tahara status and not becoming Tamei Meis, there is a way to do that in Surya, which you cannot do in Eretz Ha'anan, in Chutz La'aretz. We'll explain what that means in a moment. And number three, Vakona Sada B'Surya, one who purchases a field in Surya, is Vakona B'Farvare Yerushalayim. It's as if he purchased a property in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And again, we'll explain in a moment in what way that is significant. So now the Gemara takes these halachas one by one. Number one, Chayeves B'Maiser B'Shavias K'Eretz Yisrael. That which grows in Surya is like it grows in Eretz Yisrael. It's subject to Chiyuv Maisros. It's subject to Chiyuv Shemitah. Why is that? Because Sava, this Brisa holds. Kibush Yachid, personal conquest, Shmei Kibush, is like national conquest. In other words, like we said before, Surya was a territory north of Israel that was conquered by David HaMelech. So the Gemara refers to that conquest as Kibush Yachid, an individual conquest. And our Brisa views it as national conquest, as the same status as the Brisa as well with regard to Trumas and Maisros and Shemitah. Why and how is it only Kibush Yachid? So Rashi explains that David conquered Surya, but he did so, you know, with his own private army, not with the national army in which all of Klal Yisrael is represented. In other words, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael proper, so all the tribes contributed to the army. It was a national army. They conquered Eretz Yisrael on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Here, this is David's own personal army, number one. And number two, says Rashi, he didn't conquer it to divide amongst all of Klal Yisrael. He conquered it for his own personal territorial expansion. It was his own personal benefit that he conquered it for. So, in that sense, Rashi says, Kibush Yachid means it wasn't conquered by the national army for the nation. It was conquered by David's personal army for himself. Kibush Yachid.
And they also have to go to Sanhedrin before, if it's not a Kibush Yachid?
Good question. So, you know, the Melech has the right, you know, to wage war. And this wasn't done with the national army that would require all of Klal Yisrael's participation and consent. So this is his own personal decision, his own personal army. And it was conquered for his own personal use and benefit. In that sense, it's Kibush Yachid. But nonetheless, the Brisa says, oh, it's still Chayev, and Shumas, and Maisus, and Shumas. Now, Tosus has a bit of a different definition. Tosus says, Kibush Yachid means the following. Tosus says Kibush Yachid means that he conquered it before all of biblical Eretz Yisrael was conquered. That was what made it distinct and unique and different. It's Kibush Yochid in that it was conquered before all of biblical Eretz Yisrael was conquered.
I thought all of that was conquered in 14 years.
When so there were still some pockets that weren't conquered yet, Tosus quotes. Still some pockets around Yerushalayim. Had he conquered all of Eretz Yisrael first, Tosus says, well, then there'd be no question that what they conquered after Eretz Yisrael was conquered would also be subject to Chiyuv Trumas and Maestros with Kedushas Haaretz. The only question here is that it was conquered before biblical Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So that's the question of Kibush Yochid. So either way, the Gemara says that our Brisa here holds Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush. It's like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's Chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. Next halacha. We said in the Brisa, Varutz Lekanas L'Vatar Nechnas. If you want to enter into Surya while maintaining your Tara status, there's a way to do that. The Gemara says, well, how could that be? The Armat Afratame, the same Brisa just told me that the soil of Surya is like the soil of Eretz Ha'amim, and it's Tamei Meis. So how can you tell me the same Brisa that you can enter into Surya and maintain your Tahara? The Gemara answers, Beshida Teva Umigdal. What the Brisa means is that if you enclose yourself in some sort of box that is then carried into Surya airspace, you can remain Tahar, but only in Surya. You can't pull the same trick, if you will, in Eretz Amim. Why not? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Hanichnas l'Eretz Amim b'shivda teva u'migdol. If one enters into Chutz L'Eretz airspace, carried in this enclosure of sorts, Rebbe mitame. Rebbe says it doesn't help you. Because you're being carried in a movable enclosure, the phrase that Rashi quotes is Ohel Zoruk, a moving enclosure, is not considered an Ohel. It doesn't serve as a valid chatzitza or separation between you and the Tumas Eretz Amin below. So according to Rebbe, if you are carried in this enclosure into Chutzlarts, you become Tamei Meis regardless. Nonetheless, what we're saying now is that in Surya, Rebbe would concede that that's okay. We'll explain in a moment. First, we finish off our discussion about Eretz Amin. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says that you do maintain your Tahara status if you are carried into Eretz Amim in such an enclosure. He holds that Ohel Zorik is considered an Ohel. It is considered a valid chatzitza between you and the Tumah below. So now the Gemara says, but Vafidu Rebbe, even Rebbe who said that it does not work in Eretz Amim, Loka Metame El of Eretz Amim. That's only a problem in Chutz La'aretz. Degazru Al Gusha V'Al Avira. In Chutz La'aretz, Chazal imposed Tumas Meis Midrabanan, not just on the soil, on the gush, if you touch and move the soil, but even on the avir, even on the airspace itself, such that if you are carried into the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim in this enclosure, this movable Ohel Zaruk, you are still Tamei because you are in the avir of Eretz Ha'amim. Aval Surya, but in Surya, the Gemara says, Al Gusha Gazu, Chazal were Gozer Tumas Meis on the soil. You touch it, you move it. Al Avir Lo Gazu, if you're carried into the airspace of Surya, there is no Tumah that Chazal Ragoza on the airspace itself. And therefore, since you didn't touch nor move the soil, you're being carried into the airspace. And despite the fact that an Ohel Zarek, according to Rebbe, a movable Ohel is not a valid chatzitza, it's not a valid enclosure halakhically, but it doesn't matter. You're only in the airspace. The airspace in Surya, even according to Rebbe, is not Tameh. Okay. Finally, the last halacha, Vakone Sada Besuria, if you purchased property in Surya, Kikone Befavar Yerushalayim, like you purchased in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. L'may Halchasa, in what way is that significant? Amrav Sheshes Loma, that means to say, Shekosvin Olav Ono Vafila B'Shabbos. You can write a bill of sale for such a purchase, even on Shabbos. Meaning, the non-Jew who sold you the land is heading out of town, and you want proof of purchase right now, you can have the bill of sale written up even on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, what are you talking about? B'Shabbos, Sokodaitach, what? You can be Mechal Shabbos to write up a Shtar Mechira for a purchase of land in the outskirts of Yerushalayim or in Syria? How could that be? The Gemara says, you're right. Because Amar Rabbi Akrava said, Omer lo'ovi kechavim v'ose. There are some times that you can tell a guy to do a malacha that you yourself cannot do. Hachanam here as well. Omer lo'ovi kechavim v'ose. The heter here is to tell a guy to write the Shtar Mechira for you even on Shabbos. In general, telling a non-Jew to do forbidden malacha for you on Shabbos is itself an Issur Drabbanan. Nonetheless, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Lo Gozer Rabbanan. In order to ensure Jewish settlement of the land of Israel, that There shouldn't be non-Jewish landowners. There should be Jewish landowners. Chazal allowed you to instruct a guy to write a bill of sale for proof of purchase of your land in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's Shabbos. Now, Tosis quotes in Machlokas Rishonim, is this true for other mitzvahs as well, that you can tell a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos for the purpose of other mitzvahs? The Ramah quotes such an opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The Baal Itter, who says you can tell a guy to light a candle for you if you can't see during the day or at night and you want to enjoy your Suda Shabbos, so for the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, you can tell a guy to do a malacha of lighting a candle for you. Not everyone agrees to that. That's a minority opinion of Rishonim. Most Rishonim hold that this exception the Gemara gives here to tell a guy to write up a Shtar Mechir on Shabbos is not an allowance to tell a guy to do malacha for the performance of any mitzvah. It's dafka unique to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Such a chash of a mitzvah, Chazal made a special exception for that you can tell a guy to do malacha deraisa to enable you to perform the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So again, the Baal Itter Ramah quotes allows you to do the same to tell a guy to light a candle to enable me to enjoy my Suda Shabbos. On a Shabbos, I need light. But most Shurim don't agree with that. Most Shurim hold that no, this is an exception made for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not for other mitzvahs. There might be allowances to tell a guy to do an Issur Drabanan for the sake of other mitzvahs. Okay, Shvus to Shvus, Mishum Mitzvah Lagaz Rabanan. But to tell a guy to do an Issur Daraisa, that's Dafka for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to many Rishon. Moving on, two dots. Tanu Rabban the Raisa says, Eber Shehevi Gito. An Eber Knani comes from Chutz Laretz with a Shtar Shichur in hand. Now, until now, we were discussing a woman who comes, or a Shliach who comes, with a get of an Isha in hand that was written in Chutz Laretz. And we need to declare, I saw it written, I saw it signed. The same is true, we're going to see, with regard to an Eber Knani who brings a shtar shichur, a document granting him his freedom. There also, the same din applies that whoever brings a shtar shichur from Chutz Laretz must declare, I saw it written, I saw it signed, it was written for this Eved, it was signed by real Edim. So now you have this case, and Eved Knani comes with his shtar shichur in hand from Chutz Laretz. The Kosovo, the shtar shichur says in it, Atzmecha, you yourself, Unuchasai, and my assets, Kunuyin Lach, are hereby given to you. In other words, it's not just a shtar shichur, it's a shtar shichur plus shtar matana. It's an all-in-one. I'm granting you your personal freedom, and I'm giving you
a gift,
all of my assets. So the Braisa says, Atzmo kana, on the basis of his own declaration, I saw it written, I saw it signed, he is allowed to say that this is an authentic document with real edim, only insofar as his own freedom and shtar shichur is concerned. But nechasim lo kana, but he doesn't have the ability to make such a declaration with regard to thereby being entitled to take all the assets that are given to him in the shtar. That's a regular shtar matana. Regular shtar matana requires regular kiyam machasimus, requires regular two edim to come and say, this is a valid shtar. We don't believe him on that. So Brother the Gemara asks, kol nechasai knuyin lach mahu. What happens if the shtar shichur he brings from Chutz Laretz didn't specify you and my assets are given to you? Rather, it was an all-inclusive statement. Everything I own is given to you. Now, everything I own includes the Eved. But instead of specifying Eved plus assets, it was all my assets are hereby given to you. Mahu, what's the din there? Amar Bai Bai says, Mitoch Shekana Atzmo. Well, he's believed to say that I saw it written, I saw it signed to earn his own freedom. So Kana Nachasim. So once you believe him in that regard, the shtar says everything is his. That means he gets the assets too. Amalei Rava says to Abai, what do you mean? Bishloma atzmo likani. I understand you believe the Eved to say, I saw the shtar shichur written and signed to enable himself to acquire his own freedom. Mida dahava agarisha. The same way that we trust a woman to bring her own get and say, I saw it written, I saw it signed. Same is true for an Eved Knani and his own shtar shichur. But that doesn't grant him the right to say that I saw the shtar written and signed, that therefore we should give him all of the owner's properties. In that regard, it's like a regular shtar matana. You want to authenticate it, prove that it's valid, bring witnesses who recognize the signatures, and then we'll give you all the money and property. You can't trust the Eved Kanani to say that it's a valid shtar to therefore be given all the property himself. So Hada Amar Bai Bai then said, okay, mitoch shelo kana nechasim, since he's not trusted to be given all of the assets and properties on the basis of his own say-so, So lo kana atzmo. So he himself also is not then freed as a result of this shtar shechur. And again, Amalei Rav, Rav says, no. Bishlam elchasim lulikni. I understand he can't be given all the properties referenced in the shtar. Meaning to have a kim shtaras da'ama, because he's got to bring witnesses, regular kim shtaras, to authenticate the document. Ela atzmo lulikni. But why would he himself not be freed? Meaning to have a gerisha. He and his shtar shechur is the same as the woman and her get. You believe the shliach, you believe the eved, you believe the isha to say, I saw it written, I saw it signed. So Elam Rav Rava says, you make a split. Echazeh vechazeh. Whether the shtar says, all my assets are given to you, whether the shtar says, you and my assets are given to you, we make the following distinction. Atzmo kana. Insofar as his own freedom is concerned, he can say, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, he's believed, he's freed. Nechasim lo kana. But insofar as the other assets are concerned, that he's not entitled to, unless he brings actual edim to be mekayim the shtar. We'll pick up here with Esses Hashem tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi.